Rogue to go.
Welcome, dear film friend. Buffs and nerds at heart, all you aficionados of entertainment, television, movies, theater, the arts. We are your landing place, the place for the ship to land.
We are the spaceport, starport, launch bay.
Right.
We're your people.
We're Devil's Tower, Wyoming.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah. If you had a dream, you saw a vision in your mashed potatoes that brought you here, you were on KSKQ,
yes,
Community Radio.
You're on the right path.
Right. And this is the pop culture radio show. We talk about issues, the important issues, like... Kirk or Picard,
or Sisko, or Pike.
Janeway. Oh, yes, I love his hair. We talk about the movies. We talk about controversy. We like to dish the gossip, and so we'll be doing a little bit of that today.
Yeah.
And you got the old men tonight.
By the way, you guys, you and Grace and Madison, I like them. They're doing a great job.
Yes, yes. And we need, they're doing great. And really, all the encouragement people have been giving them, it's really...
That's great.
It's been fun, yes. And we'll hear them. They'll be here next week. And there's a couple of topics we're not allowed to talk about because they want to talk about it. So if we get close to it...
Nope.
No, we can talk about Nope. I'm really excited about talking about Nope because I've had a little bit of time to unpack everything that I witnessed. And although I think we're still in the spoiler stage.
Yeah.
I know Grace wants to talk about Wakanda Forever, so we can mention but we can't discuss it.
We had San Diego Comic-Con.
Lots of stuff happened.
And by the way, folks, this Jason Hoke is here.
That's right. Who are we?
Yeah.
Jason Hauk and... Hauk. Yep.
Brad Smith.
Yes.
Hello, everyone. Online and throughout the Rogue Valley. Yes. To start things off... Yesterday, after we finished our morning show, I asked you if you had seen the new trailer for Rob Zombie's The Monsters.
The Monsters, yes.
And the look on your face told me, one, yes, you saw it. And two, you probably had the same horrified reaction. I mean, well, it's a mixed bag. It's like, it was like... Okay, it was like it's like the old cliche, you know, you can't turn away from a train wreck. It was just, how to unpack this?
Exactly, yeah. The Monster trailer, we're referring to the 2022 movie that's coming out, and the trailer, I guess, is our first introduction to it. And as you mentioned, Rob Zombie producing it, directing it.
What am I? He wrote and directed. This was
threats.
His dream project.
Well, really?
Yeah. This, you know, The Munsters was his favorite film. I mean, favorite TV show when he was growing up. I was more of an Addams Family guy myself, but, you know. But yes, this he's been trying to get this made for some time. And he, I guess he finally got enough clout to do it. And he rounded up his usual company of actors, including his wife and... Sherry Moon Zombie. Daniel Roebuck, who's been in a few films.
He plays Grandpa.
Yeah,
in the trailer, and I see him in the movie.
And it's supposed to be how Herman and Lily met.
Right.
Much to Grandpa's chagrin.
Well, you know, and those that remember the series and know the ongoing gag between Grandpa and Herman.
Yes.
You know, he just, you know, no man is good enough for his daughter. And especially when the man is made out of a lot of other men.
There are issues.
there are issues. And so, we get a lot to unpack from the trailers. And I guess the first thing is they introduce it as, you know, this is a Rob Zombie.
Yes.
Screams in the background.
Yeah, well, you know, and from the man who gave you a House of 1,000 Corpses, you know, Devil's Rejects.
Right.
You know, Three from Hell. And
here's a campy, family-friendly summer romp.
Well, yeah. Well, that was when he first announced his project last year. That was like right away, everyone was like, oh my God, it's, you know, he's going to turn this into the, like, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But, you know, he assured everyone, no, I'm going to keep it family. It's PG. It's family friendly. It's, you know, true to the spirit of the original show. And it's slated to appear in September, early to mid-September on Netflix.
Netflix, yep, streaming and Blu-ray, DVD release.
And, you know, I have a lot of views on Zombie's work over the years, but he did capture that kitschy, campy, '60s sitcom vibe. All that was missing was the canned at laughter, you know.
Right, right.
I mean, you have a one character gets hit on the head, and you hear the boink and the whistling, and you know, seeing the birds around the head. Yeah, it's pretty campy, and
trailers sparked a lot of discussion on the internet. Let's start there. A lot of folks. Talking bad about the trailer, pointing out a lot of visual oddities and choices, sound, lighting.
That whole, you know, because when the teaser was released, it was basically a recreation of the original opening sequence. And the actor who plays Herman, he came out and it looked like he didn't know where the hell his mark was, you know. And Sherry Moon Zombie is, of course, Lily. And I tell you what, I don't know how many times she watched that opening segment, but she got Yvonne DiCarlo's moves down packed. And then Daniel Roebuck, basically, well, he's Grandpa. He didn't have much to do.
Yes.
But it was just like watching the original opening, you know, over, you know, 50 years ago. But a lot of people were, again, very, very skeptical. And I guess now they're really kind of first of all, they attack, you know, they start mocking him for it skipping theaters and going direct to Netflix. He said, oh, yeah, this is so bad it's going to Netflix.
Right.
But he said, and if people remember, this was a project for Netflix. So, I mean, this was already slated for Netflix. And he's been quite defensive. He's been on social media defending the film and kind of debunking these rumors and claims and so on. So he's been out there defending his film. And, again, this was his dream project. Mm-hmm. And I can't fault an artist for working so hard to get their dream project to fruition. But, if I get really, really bored, I may take a peek at it. But I'm not really...
You're not waiting for this, holding your breath.
No, it's not like Dungeons and Dragons, Honorable Thieves. I mean, it's just like, okay. Well, usually it's like, I'll wait until it's on Netflix. Well, it is coming to Netflix, so it's like, if I'm really, really bored some night, maybe I'll take a look at it. But yeah, there was a lot of, with his, his typical fan base seemed like, they kind of turned on him because some said he was selling out, But it's going to be interesting when it finally screens next month.
Right. And if we may get some more finished trailers between now and then, possible.
Now, the supporting cast, Sylvester McCoy, who was one of the, he was Doctor number 7. The 7th Doctor.
That's right.
Doctor Who. He is, and he plays Igor. Maria Schnell, who was on Her Majesty's Secret Service, Moon 02, Space 1999, the second season. She's a German-British actress, and she has a part. I think she plays a witch or something like mm-hmm. that. So and I guess Elvira plays a real estate agent.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That sounds fun, having a few cameos.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's went and he's got some, like, fan-favorite cameos.
Nice.
To be in this film. So it's, maybe I'll just watch it for, like, to see Elvira as a real estate agent or something like that. But last week, there was a lot of trailers that dropped, which is what happens at Comic-Con.
Right.
We mentioned, the new Black Panther Wakanda Forever mm-hmm. trailer. And that was something some people were talking about, there wasn't enough. Now, they haven't released the Guardians of the Galaxy 3 trailer, mm-hmm. and they haven't released Mandalorian Season 3 or Ahsoka yet. But here, it's going to be Friday, September 9th, D23, the big Disney Expo.
Right,
the
right.
Expo is going to happen.
Nice.
So I imagine they'll probably release a lot of those trailers then, because that's the big presentation for the investors and everyone. So She-Hulk, Attorney at Law.
Uh-huh. That looks like a fun series, and I know the girls are looking forward to that one. Really plays for laughs, and
yeah.
brings back a lot of familiar characters and faces. It's nice seeing Marvel superheroes having fun and not having terrible, horrible things happen to them or existential crises.
It's interesting. I mean, it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be fun. It's based on John in 1992. He brought back the Sensational She-Hulk comic mm-hmm. book series. And this is basically what inspired the Disney show. Because in the comic, she broke the fourth wall. This is before Deadpool.
Uh-huh.
And there's scenes in Well, and, you know, that she does break the fourth wall.
And, yeah, we've already got some examples of that in the previews.
Yeah, right? And so, and if anyone says, oh, you know, she's, you know, they're ripping off Deadpool.
I think, ah.
No, She-Hulk did it first.
Check your source material.
Yeah. So it looks really fun. The character, you know, we're going to see a lot of favorite characters. Tim Roth is coming back as Emil Blonsky, the Abomination, who was the villain in the Hulk movie with Ed Norton.
Okay,
you know, years ago. It was the second official MCU movie. Mark Ruffalo is back as Bruce Banner.
Yep, as more civilized Hulk.
Kind of the
hybrid Hulk. I think he's
Professor Hulk.
Professor Hulk. There you go. Yes.
Yeah, and. Wong is back.
Right. Yeah. It was, hey, Wong's in here too.
We saw a brief glimpse of Daredevil.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
So, I mean, it's, you see this figure jumping and doing a tuck and roll across a rooftop. And then you get like the slight reveal that
Matt Murdock
as Daredevil. Around,
yes.
Yeah. So, which kind of figures, because Murdock by day is an attorney. So, but that's kind of a lead in because they announced too that Daredevil and Kingpin are returning for the new Disney Plus series Echo.
Okay.
She was one of the characters from the Hawkeye series. She has she's like Taskmaster.
Oh, okay.
She has eidetic reflexes.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then they announced a season 4, a new season of Daredevil to be starting production next year.
Okay.
So we're getting a new Daredevil series.
We're getting a new Game of Thrones spinoff.
House of the Dragon, yes.
House of the Dragon, yes. The prequel to all of the drama we saw. We're going to have to remember all those names again, the Targaryens.
Yeah, the Targaryens. This focuses on the Targaryens, I believe.
Yes, and maybe we'll see the adventures of the young Mad King as he frolics in the apple fields, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think, is that Matt Smith's character?
I don't know.
Let's see what else dropped this.
We saw John Wick 4.
Yes, yes.
More Wick.
More Wick.
And
are you back, John? I think.
He's been in some real pickles.
And he has been.
And some real cliffhangers. He seems to always survive and come back. And it's like, I don't know. What more is he going to be in space? I don't know.
But, you know, Bob Odenkirk did that film a few years ago, Nobody.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen that?
I have not.
Basically, he plays like he's a retired special operative who is now like this meek accountant or something like
that. Right. Deals with the home invasion.
Yeah, and his past. Yeah, his past catches up with him, and then people find out that, you know, he's a hard case. Odenkirk spent like a year working out for this. I mean, you know, doing the training and the preparation for the fights. The interesting thing is, the crew, the people who worked on Nobody, are also the people who've worked on the John Wick films. And now there's rumors that they may do a John Wick Nobody crossover.
All right, these two.
Yeah, two guys who are trying to, you know, get behind, you know, trying to put their past behind them, but, you know, they have to, you know, do some rough justice.
Right. I think that's a theme throughout the whole John Wick, is this weird camaraderie between these most brutal assassins.
Yeah.
They all hang out and know each other, and some are friends. And there's a little bit of respect No matter who's shooting you,
yeah.
It's like there's that the scene in the first John Wick where they're in the cornfield, I think, and it's like look what they've done to us.
You know? Yeah. Like
this, even though they're enemies, it's like there's still a kinship.
Yeah, but, yeah. I mean, there's this mutual respect and admiration.
Yeah.
And so, and it was fun to see Reeves do something like that. I mean, his career, like, you know, has been ups and downs, mm-hmm. and he hit gold with this one.
Right.
And I'm looking forward to it.
Yes. And the amount of training and stuff that he puts in, on the range, learning to do is gung-fu, basically. I don't know, man. In a macho way, that seems like a really fun job to do. You know, you get out and train, and you're just bringing yourself into the even as an actor, bringing yourself into your peak physical conditioning.
I seen him do those combat training runs,
right?
Live fire, you know. I mean, the live fire on the gun ranges, and. I mean, he's doing this. This is not a stunt double. He's out there and he's doing this, and he's surprisingly good. And it kind of reminds me, a lot of people don't realize this, but back in the 40s and 50s and into the 60s, there's a group of actors who every weekend they would go to the local gun range and practice their quick draw.
Hmm.
And one of them, of course, was... Clint Eastwood. You want to know you want to know who one of the others was?
Who else was in that?
Mel Torme. he was actually. Yeah. They said that he was faster than Eastwood, but no. It really, you know, he really puts himself into this role. I think this was a project that he just really went, okay, this is something I really want to do. And he was that way about the earlier Matrix films too.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, that trailer dropped, and we saw, I think the Marvel MCU, they released their future films. You know, we got Ant-Man and Wasp
coming
back.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is coming out. That's supposed to be the last film with that. True. I mean,
going to wrap up the story. Wrap up,
yeah. In fact, it's going to wrap up the story with, like, practically everyone. So, I mean, Peter Quill and Gamora and Drax. And I've heard rumors that we see it's a flashback sequence with Baby Rocket.
Huh.
You know? And Groot. So it's...
Oh, how cute.
Yeah. And it's going to be interesting because they're going to bring in Adam Warlock, who's one of the classic comic book characters from that period. You know, after Captain, you know, because Warlock has a lot of ties with Thanos and the Eternals, mm-hmm. and Captain Marvel. So, you know, this is leading into their Phase 5 of their films. Meantime. DC is still trying to get their act together.
We didn't talk about Loki season 2.
Yep, there's Loki season 2.
And the rumor of a possible Loki coming back in Thor 4. So
Yeah, so that's going to be
Tom Hiddleston will be
he'll be coming back.
Coming back.
Well, he'll probably have to because the two Marvel, I mean, the two new Avenger films that have been announced was one, Avengers, the Kang Dynasty, and Kang is the time-traveling supervillain.
Oh, boy. Yep.
Who, I guess, figured into Loki.
Yep.
And so if he pops up at some point, you're going to have to figure that Loki may turn up too. And, of course, now they're announcing Secret Wars. I mean, it's just...
Oh, my.
It's... And Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four.
And, you know, and now they're, you know, it's just, they're doing, I mean, whatever, they're doing it right. You know, slowly, I mean, they're building and expanding this universe of theirs. And they seem to be, you know, they're on the right track for it.
Well, yeah, and you know, they get the right writers and creative crew together. They can get together a kind of a model, mm-hmm. and you know, they hit one out of the park. And then, you know, well, you know, the next one's going to get hit pretty far too. Well, it's amazing how the long life this superhero genre has, and the way it keeps inventing itself.
Yeah,
and it keeping just, people engaged.
And it all started with that post credit sequence when Samuel Jackson shows up at, you know, Tony Stark's place. You know, as a, you know, he's Carl, he's Nick Fury, and he, yeah, I want to talk to you about the Avengers Initiative.
Dun, dun, dun.
And that's just boom.
Here we are.
Yeah, here we are. And it's, that was 2008. So here we are 14 years later, still going strong.
Right.
And,
The Disney theme park and.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's growing, and the Star Wars, series are, you know, we got.
They're a great IP.
Yeah. Andor is dropping, its first episode, August 31st. Mm-hmm. And sometime next year we have, Mandalorian 3.
Correct.
And that looks, I saw a leaked trailer from that. And
what do you think?
It's wall-to-wall Mandalorians.
A lot of Mandalorians.
There's a lot of Mandalorians. And it's going to be interesting because they're going to come up, you know, this thing that they ended season 2 on, the fact that Din Djarin, the Mandalorian, has the Darksaber, the, you know, the treasured ancient weapon that was a symbol of the Mandalorian leaders, and he has it. And then, the Mandalorian, Bo-Katan, played by, you know, Katie, oh God, I'm having a brain lock.
Starbuck?
Yeah, Starbuck, yeah. She did the voice of Bo-Katan in the Clone Wars animated series. And just by chance, they said, hey, you know, she made a joke to Dave Filoni during a convention junket. She goes, yeah, I hear you're doing The Mandalorian. Do you think you'll have Bo-Katan on? Yeah. If you do, I'll play her. So that's going to be interesting. And then we have the Ahsoka series, which has a number of, fan favorite characters coming back from the Rebels animated series a few years ago. We already know that the young Mandalorian Sabine is going to be in it. Hera Syndulla, the pilot and captain of the crew, is going to be in it. The homicidal robot Chopper is going to be in it. We're entering a golden age of, you know, for, you know, people like us who love
Star Wars
and the comics and the games and everything else. This is like
the lore.
It's just a really good time to be a fan, because for the longest time we wanted stuff like this. We wanted to see new Star Wars. It's like after the first Star Wars came out, you know, I was so excited when I heard that they were going to do the Star Wars holiday special.
Oh my gosh, I was too, and I have such a fond memory of that. Of that night, and it was a family event, and we had brownies and ice cream, and Aunt Jennifer came over, and then the show started. But it was a great night.
It was a great night.
It was such an exciting, I remember the excitement of thinking that this world was going to continue, and, you know, we found it.
The cool things that came out of that was the first appearance of Boba Fett. In that animated sequence by Nelvana, the Canadian animation company, who, you know, produced that. So that was the first appearance of Boba Fett. And then we had Life Day. And now, you know, of course, Boba Fett's been part of the Star Wars canon for years. Mm-hmm. And Life Day is now.
Yeah, that's right. It's all...
It's, you know, it's a lot of that older stuff is making it back into the films and the new novels. But, yeah, that was the thing. It was like we were hungry for this news. We wanted more Star Wars. You know, we didn't want to wait another 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, yeah, when that, yeah, the Star Wars Holiday Special, that's...
Yeah, it's bittersweet.
it's bittersweet. You can find it on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
The only DVD copy in existence was owned by Carrie Fisher.
Ah, okay.
Because Carrie Fisher did some script rewrites for the Star Wars prequel. And George Lucas said, okay, you know, how much do I owe you? And Carrie Fisher said, I want a DVD copy of the Holiday Special. And he's like, why? And she said, George, you know me. I throw parties. I have, I have parties. I have friends over. I have friends, guests over. And, you know, they just come over to my house. And when it gets late, I want them out of my house.
Ah!
So... That's what she does. Supposedly, when it gets too late, she throws on the Holiday Special.
Uh-huh. It's closing time.
And now we have, like, the new Star Trek series. And again, it's, we got all this.
Got all this great contact. What about, before we move on, what about Bad Batch? Anything?
That's season 2 is coming later on this year or early next year. So we got a new Bad Batch coming up.
Good.
They got a new series, a live action series called Skeleton Crew with Jude Law.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's about, you know, some kids who are on the run and they end up on this starship. And
that old story.
Yeah, so they're on the run, and it's about them trying to survive.
Did we talk about Obi-Wan
season 2? Oh, God. Oh, it's rumored. I mean, Ewan McGregor wants to do it.
Oh, good.
Because he had such a blast. He had so much fun doing Obi-Wan in the prequels. And, you know, the thing was, they were talking about doing a Obi-Wan trilogy. And then they had a misfire with Solo, which I loved Solo. To me, that's one of the, you know, Ron Howard did a great job. That's, to me, is like one of the better Star Wars films, you know, next to Rogue One and like Empire and the original. They did, it was a really good Star Wars film. Unfortunately, you know, it didn't catch on. But when it, it had a lackluster box office they put a kibosh on the proposed Obi-Wan movie trilogy and the Mandalorian. I mean, no, the Boba Fett bounty hunter film. And who knew? They went, hey, we got these, you know, these characters. Let's do something with Disney Plus. And they've had a big success with it. And, I loved seeing Ewan McGregor as young Obi-Wan in the prequels. I thought he was one of the best parts of the prequels because he really
captured
the older he got, the more mannerisms from Alec Guinness he started to bring into his character, you know, the movements and the facial features and the hand gestures, you know, that was, you know, and I remember when he, when they brought him out, I think it was for D23, when they announced that they were doing the Obi-Wan series, when Kathleen Kennedy brought him out. Afterwards he said, you know, I'm so glad I can talk about this, because for like 2 or 3 years they had to keep this secret And it's like anywhere he went, you know, no matter the movie he was promoting, they said, hey, are you going to do Obi-Wan again? No. He goes, I had to
lie.
Wasn't
his thing, yeah.
So it's, I tell you, what did you think, you know, the episode six, that duel with Darth Vader? What, I mean...
It was actually, and I guess we're past the spoiler phase.
Yes,
but,
yes.
I thought it was very poetic.
Yes.
In that, and very brutal, I guess the criticisms was the... maybe the set or lighting, it was a little dark. It was a little dark. You know, it reminded me of, I don't know, like when those comedy things with the lightsabers in the dark or something.
Yeah.
But, Darth Vader lit him up, and I'm like, oh, gosh.
Oh, God,
like,
yeah.
The poetic justice and, like, how satisfied Vader must have felt at that moment.
Yeah, to set Obi-Wan on fire,
right.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. And, after being brutal to that village of people, I mean, that was, you know, if you
correct.
Thought, like, I mean, when people saw Rogue One, that was one of the many standout scenes when Vader has, you know, unleashes his rage on the rebels on that mm-hmm. ship, and he's slaughtering them.
Right, it's cutting through them.
Yeah, rebels. Yeah, and they can't do anything to stop him. And he did the same thing in the village scene, only it was a little more subtle. It was just like gesture at some, you know, at a kid and snap his neck with a force. It's like, boom. Yes, folks, that happened.
Yeah, well, you know, and maybe that's just little Annie when he gets to Tatooine or something, but
yeah.
he does a, you know, we saw his brutal attacker after his mother died.
Oh, on the sand people.
Sand people, and... you know, that's in him. We saw him slaughter the younglings, and that, you know, the murder of the younglings played a real critical piece in all of the whole drama, Obi-Wan drama.
There's a deleted scene from Phantom Menace, and it's after Anakin wins the pod race, and I can't remember how it happens, but he, you know, starts getting picked on by one of the other kids. Mm. He gets bullied, and Anakin loses it, and he jumps on the kid and starts beating him up until, I believe, Qui-Gon has to pull him off, you know. But you saw that rage there. I mean, they showed that rage. But, you know, again, that was a scene that was deleted. But it's like, you know, in the other two films, well, I mean, in Attack of the Clones, yeah, you really saw his rage when he, you know, went after the Sand People. But, yeah, it's, you know, we're just seeing this mythology growing more and more. Mm-hmm. And it really, you know, took place because, I mean, we know... I mean, there was no, I mean, you have to, you know, admit that there's no sense of danger. I mean, in Obi-Wan, there wasn't.
Except for all of the new,
except for the new characters
who happened to wander into poor Obi-Wan's life. And it's like, oh God.
Yeah.
I liked him.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But the thing is, yeah, we know how it's going to end ultimately. But you know what? It was still fun to see Obi-Wan, and this was like a lot of, you know, some of the toxic fans were not happy with this. When we first see Obi-Wan, you know, it's 10 years later, he's working this menial job on Tatooine. He's a broken...
kind of a cowardly character.
Cowardly, PTSD.
He's turned away from his calling.
And he's
lost the Force.
He's cut himself off from the Force and all of this. And... you know, and then we know that the Inquisitors are still looking for him. And Reva, the actress who played Reva was amazing. She was the fifth sister? I'm trying to remember Reva. So.
Oh, right, right. Yeah. And her backstory and
yeah,
and her reveals.
Yeah, because that was something that, you know, when they had one of the flashback sequences, I said to my wife, I said, I think we just saw Reva's origin story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and, but, you know, we see Obi-Wan, you know, get back, you know, basically, you know, finding redemption and, you know, learning to be himself again. And in a way, it kind of mirrors Luke's arc in The Last Jedi. You know, Luke was the same way. You know, Luke went into hiding, cut himself off from the Force, and then someone, you know, comes in and reminds him of who he is and what he has to do. And so, again, it's that same kind of arc, you know, that Obi-Wan and Luke shared was, you know, again, going on this journey of redemption and helping people and, you know, again, finding out.
Right. Yeah. That hero's journey we see.
Well, yeah. And
so classic in
again,
the Star Wars tale.
And George Lucas has been, you know, he's always talked about how, you know, Campbell's the hero's journey was a big template for the Star Wars films.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Yeah.
You're listening to Pop Culture on KSKQ Community Radio. Support for KSKQ comes from our listeners and from the Ashland Food Co-op, the Southern Oregon Certified Organic Grocer. Or Ashland Food Co-op is owned by friends and neighbors who value the community, local farmers, and the planet. Organic ingredients for the whole family to enjoy. Located at 237 North 1st Street in Ashland, on the web at ashlandfood.coop. Ashland Food Co-op, where everyone is welcome. We also want to thank the Locals Guide Free Monthly Magazine for its contribution to the Rogue Valley community. Information about a free subscription or advertising in the Locals Guide is at ashland.oregon.localsguide.com. I want to thank all of our underwriters for supporting
Community Radio.
And you've got Brad and Jason here on We the People. We the People.
That's yesterday's show.
Pop culture. we could get a little political. I got a story here there's been some controversy around the new Grand Theft Auto release.
Really?
Grand Theft Auto 6 has been announced. In development, and according to sources within Rockstar Games, some of the details has got the fanboys angry.
Why? What
well, we've got...
it doesn't take much to get GTA fanboys angry.
All right. Well, you know, the series that has, you know, brought to American culture the, you know, breaking and entering, robbing, murder... all for profit. That, you know, just basic American things. This will the new characters that playable characters are getting a little controversy. They're going to be two playable bank robbers, kind of a Bonnie and Clyde inspired tale involving a female protagonist. So you get to play a female character. She's going to be Latina, and as I understand, she may be LGBT.
Ooh.
So, you know, as some folks are saying, totally unplayable. It's gone woke.
You go woke, go broke. Right. That sort of thing. Yes.
To me, I'm excited about another GTA part expanding the show, and I don't see anything wrong. People complain about a lot of weird things. Vice City, anything goes. In Vice City.
I mean, it's just kind of weird because they'll, you know, we mentioned it off air earlier how like some people are just going crazy about Amazon's, you know, Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power, and there is, you can find on YouTube, there's this one channel that has 8-9 videos. Almost a half hour long or longer, depending on the video, just, you know, going over details of how this new show is going to ruin Tolkien. And we've just seen a couple of trailers, you know.
Right. Yeah, this is a new epic series. There's a lot of content We have no idea what to be disappointed about yet.
Yeah, and it's just people are going crazy. And it's like, you know, GTA. Well, GTA, you know, has always had a, a history of controversy. But, and it's, you know, it wouldn't be a GTA game if it didn't have any, if it didn't have any controversy, then it wouldn't be a GTA game. So it'll be interesting. I mean, it's like this, you know, the fanboys, they're going to yell and scream. Meantime, millions of other fans, gamers are going to buy the game and going to make it a bestseller, and they'll make another game, and then they'll add more and more of this, of the similar content, because people will like it.
Correct. You know, and, you know, you know, maybe someone may identify with the characters.
Well, heaven forbid do that, you know.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, that's coming up.
Yes. When is it supposed to come out?
Release. Oh, yeah. You know, it's still in production, so gosh knows, you know how those games are. They can get pushed ahead. I don't see a release date.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that one of the...
Sometime by March 2024.
Oh God, that's 20 months. So yeah, you know, that's almost 2 years. So yeah,
there's a lot of production to get done.
Yeah, I
wonder who they'll bring in to read the lines.
I don't know. I mean, they'll probably. I mean, it's kind of funny. Like I play the Fallout games, and part of the fun is, you know, running into a character and trying to guess, you know, which actor. Because, I mean, you know, Ron Perlman, of course, has been associated with that series for a long time. Felicia Day, Matthew Perry, Danny Trejo, you know. It's, you know, so it's fun to find out, well, Linda Carter.
Wonder Woman.
Yes. Well, her late husband was like an entertainment attorney, and then he got a job with Bethesda. So they moved to Maryland, where the, you know, Bethesda headquarters was at, and then she started doing voices for like characters in like Skyrim and the, you know, and Elder Scrolls, and then she her last one was she voiced a character named Magnolia in Fallout 4, and she wrote like four original songs for the game. So, and it was one of those things. She got up, you know, threw on her sweats, went down to the studio, did her lines, and then she went home, you know, and that was it.
Nice. You
know? But that's, it's always fun, you know, watching, you know, learning, you know, which actor's been doing these voiceovers. And so, yeah, I'm, you know, I'm trying to remember, like, people who are really like associated with GTA, but maybe at some point, I know that the cast of Firefly did some Halo and I think Call of Duty, but I think they also did some voiceovers for one of the Halo games. And Nathan Fillion, I know he did some voice work for I can't remember the name of it, but you know, it's interesting because a lot of these actors do pick up voice work for the video games, and it's an easy paycheck for them.
And a great thing for the video game.
Yeah.
You know, I remember playing, I forget which Star Trek, but it had George Takei.
Yeah.
It was the Admiral, telling you what to do.
Oh yeah, there's like
that was fun.
Yeah, they I remember when, you know, when they just started doing the interactive video games. They had Star Trek, Star Trek, Starfleet Academy, they had Takai, they had, you know, Walter Koenig, William Shatner showed up, James Doohan showed up, and you know, it was kind of like a mini movie, and you know, with all the interactive cut scenes. And then they did one with the Klingon Empire, and they got Robert Rowley, Rowley to come back and Gowron.
That's right. I remember seeing his face on the cover art.
in the name of the empire, you will have honor, and you know, things like that. So it's, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, these, you know, and unfortunately in some way for some actors, you know, because they get so typecast, sometimes the, you know, it's an easy way to, you know, make some money, you know, going in. It's like, they know that they're going to capitalize on your name. It's like, oh yeah, you know, yeah, you did this in this movie. Okay, that's fine. I'll do the voice and where's my check?
Oof. We've got a few minutes here on pop culture and
yes,
yeah, a couple new horror movies are coming out. Well, one that's out now, the Black Phone, a 2021 thriller is continuing to get really good.
It's getting good reviews
and
it's getting great box office,
bringing in a lot of money there for the director Scott Derrickson. And as I think you were saying, he was based on a Joe Hill.
Yes, Joe Hill story. Yeah, and Joe Hill, you know, he did. He had a, you know, little hit with Nosferatu a few years ago.
That's
on,
right.
I think it was AMC. So yeah, you know, and it's kind of funny because a number of Joe Hill's stories will lap over into the Stephen King universe,
mm-hmm.
and Lock and Key. You know, that's another one. That's got its third and final season on Netflix this year. So, you know, he's, Joe Hill's having some, you know, he's, you know, proving that he's, you know, he's just as good as his father, but he...
Those stories that his dad told him at night. I was worried about Stephen King's kids. You know, you want to hear a bedtime story? Like, no.
Yeah, well.
But apparently it was.
Well, that's how the novel Eye of the Dragon came out.
That's right, yeah. It's
because Stephen King's children. Daughter said, Daddy, why don't you write a, you know, something that isn't so scary.
Didn't the mom die like within 30 pages?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So
just remembering.
Yeah.
I think I was traumatized by that book.
Well, you know, Cujo. Cujo and Pet Sematary. Those are books that will really traumatize you, and some parts of it. But you know, his kids seemed like they turned out fine.
Sound great. Yeah. Well.
And his wife, you know. Stephen King's wife, Tabitha, has been, you know, she's a best-selling writer in her own, you know, on her own. So they're a family that's done very well throughout the years, thanks to horror. And so we got Black Phone, which is another, you know, fine performance from Ethan Hawke. Who's been on a roll lately.
I think that's my, I got to admit, I haven't seen it, but it's my next to see. Few words just about Nope. Alfred Hitchcock talks about how to build suspense in a scene, and he talks, well, you could have the bomb go off, but first you must show the audience the bomb and place the bomb under there, and it builds tension, right? Wow. And Jordan Peele's ability to build that kind of tension in a scene, and it happened a couple of times in the movie, but his ability to use the flashback scenes to build the suspense for something you know is about to happen, a horrible train wreck, and it's just you have to just sit there and it's happening and it's getting closer and closer, and then
a
couple of times his ability to capture that, building the tension. Amazing.
He's, you know, I've talked to some people who've seen the film, and the thing is, they've really liked it. The only thing is that they're worried that he's going to become the next M. Night Shyamalan. That's a concern because, you know, that was one of Shyamalan's big things. You know, he always gave us a big twist at the end, or at some point, there was always the big twist.
The reveal,
And, people who, I mean, they love Peele's work. He did some really great stuff with the Twilight Zone series with the revival he did a number of years ago. And in fact, I think some of the cast members, especially Steven Yeun, were in some of the episodes of the last Twilight Zone revival that Peele put together. But, you know, they're just worried that he's going to go down that same path. So,
well, I'm not worried about him. But
I hope he doesn't. I mean, you can still use those tropes. This is the thing with tropes. You can use tropes no matter how old or cliched they are. But if you tweak them just the right way, they work.
Uh-huh, right.
I mean, and it's, and he's, you know, he's been doing that. So Shyamalan did the same thing, but he kind of got lost his way.
Well, I don't know. Did he? Yeah, I liked Signs.
I love Signs.
I liked Nope. And they had a lot of similar things going on, I think. Wow. And,
yeah, the thing I like about both of those films is that you have ordinary people dealing with extraordinary situations, horrible situations in some cases, and how they get through it. And that was one of the things I liked about Signs. I mean, Signs had some really good scares in it. I mean, there were some, I mean, just, you know, I mean, jolting you out of your theater seat. It was like, oh God. You know?
Right.
And he did, I hope at some point he'll, you know, Shyamalan would get, you know, back on track again. And I hope Jordan Peele kind of stays on track. So it's, yeah.
Yes, we want to be entertained.
And we are being entertained.
And we are being.
And it's high time. I mean, like I said, we have a lot of, you know, for people like us, and, you know, there's a lot of great stuff that's coming out. And we didn't even touch upon this controversy of the D&D movie.
Oh, my gosh, how did we not? I thought that we'd spend the whole time on the D&D movie.
Well, there's always another.
Another episode, yes.
And by the time, you know, it gets to be our turn behind the mic, so it'll probably be a new controversy. So.
Right. Well, maybe we'll get a new trailer. But yeah, looking forward to Dungeons and Dragons, and you know, the rules can be loose. Owlbears, you know, druids can become owlbears.
I play DDO, Dungeons and Dragons Online, and there's already in the forums there are people who are like talking to the devs about giving the druids the ability to wild shape into a. Owlbear.
Wish we had a few more minutes, but I got to say goodnight. Happy birthday, Norman Lear. He turned 100 yesterday and put together a lot of sitcoms I remember seeing.
Yes.
Sanford and Son and One Day at a Time, Jefferson's Good Times, All in the Family, Maude.
Well, he introduced a lot of British sitcoms to Americans. I mean, that was, I mean, a lot of the shows were remakes of British TV shows, so... he was kind of, you know, predating the BBC, BBC America, but yeah. I mean, 100 years old, and he's got one hell of a legacy, you know, and it's, he's one of those people that, yeah, he's one of those giants, 100 years old. That's just like, wow. And, today, fan favorite, Bernard Cribbins, Doctor Who actor.
Oh, right. He had passed. 93, yeah.
Yeah. And he still had, you know, they've been filming the 60th anniversary episode for Doctor Who, and he's in it. So we get to see Wilfred Mott one last time.
Nice. So, all right. We're at the last minute. Go out with little Joni Mitchell. She wowed him at the Newport Folk Festival.
I heard that.
Last week. Wow. So let's go out with that. See you next week.
Thank you, folks. Take care, be safe, and be cool.
Sitting in a park in Paris, France, reading the news. news and it sure looks bad.
Support for KSKQ comes from the listeners and from the Sneak Preview, supporting the Rogue Valley economy since 1986. Sneak Preview covers community news, local businesses, art and theater, and publishes a calendar of events. Every month, nearly 100,000 copies are distributed in four separate editions, serving Ashland, Medford, Talent, and Grants Pass. Online at sneakpre.com.
The Ashland Community Peace Meal is a public meal open to all.
The Peace Meal is now at 4 p.m. in Lithia Park in two locations on 2 days. 4 p.m. Thursdays at the gazebo, 4 p.m. Fridays inside Pioneer Hall.
This is KSKQ 89.5 FM Ashland, 94.1 FM Medford.